and welcome. Welcome indeed to hour number two of the Mark Mosey Show. Now let's go out and about with this fine gentleman. He does a great job with the hometown news, and he's ready to talk some NFL draft and probably how great his Yankees are right now. He's my good friend Chris Bonanno. Chris, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's one of, if not the best sports times of the year, right? It's that time where football, baseball, kind of converge, right? I mean, you know, that Thursday night is when the draft gets going. There's everything going. It's pretty exciting stuff.
We're here with Chris Bonanno. Let's start with the NFL draft. Your Giants, you're there in the top 10. I feel like you guys aren't getting enough love. A lot of it's with the Bears. You know, you got the Commanders. You have the Chargers. You have all these teams, right? You guys, what are you, at six? What's going on exactly?
Yeah. Well, what's going on is the Tommy DeVito won us a couple games that are really happening right now. You know, so that's a bit of an issue as far as getting that quarterback in what is an excellent quarterback draft. You know, it's interesting because I think in their heart of hearts they'd like to draft a quarterback, but I don't think they can afford to trade up given how many holes are on the roster. And are you putting a quarterback in a situation to succeed? The Giants' offensive line was horrendous last year. You look at the wide receivers. Right now, Darius Slayton is probably their best wide receiver. So there's a case to be made. You know, you've committed all this money to Daniel Jones. He has to be on the roster at a minimum this year anyway. I think when push comes to shove, I think the Giants are going to stay where they are, and I think they're going to take whoever they feel is the best available wide receiver.
Okay, first off, when you talk about DeVito, I just think of his agent dressing like he's a 1930s gangster. I don't even think of the actual quarterback that plays. I just think of that agent who just tried to steal all the publicity. Are you done with Daniel Jones, though, as the quarterback of this team?
Well, I think it's not super receiver shake just because he got hurt last year. You know, missed, you know, what, by 60% of the season. So I think we're judging him. You watch the games when the Giants play, and he played by far the toughest part of the Giants season, schedule-wise. He had zero chance to be able to throw the ball. He was completely under siege, and eventually that's, you know, part of what got him knocked out for the season. The trick is, how does he rebound from that ACL? Because so much of what makes him, when he is effective, is his running ability. If he can't move, he's not near what they need. But it's not hard to forget. It's easy to forget. This is a man who went into Minnesota in the playoffs, not last year, but the year before, and he played as well as a quarterback could play in winning a game on the road. So we're going to go from that to this guy's, you know, no good. Like, you have to have him on the roster. He makes $47 million this year. Like, sorry. So I think it creates, to have somebody like that as a backup, not to mention you've got Drew Lock. When they signed Drew Lock, I think that was somewhat of a tell. I think that they're, unless one of the quarterbacks falls, then all bets are off. I think they go wide receiver.
All right. Is Harrison going to go four to Arizona?
It certainly makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have really anything going on at wide receiver there. The only trick is whether Arizona, like, you have that Minnesota aspect looming, right? With they've basically told the entire world, we are trying to trade up for a quarterback. So do you like the 11, the 23, and then for maybe some sort of additional draft comp? You got to figure they're going to trade up with somebody, right? The odd one to me is New England. New England needs a quarterback worse than anything, and they keep, you know, sort of saber rattling like, hey, we'd love to trade down. So that's interesting. But if we assume, and that's why it's so hard, anytime you make a mock draft, it's so hard because, of course, there's going to be trades, but you don't know the truth. So anytime, you know, if everybody stays where they are, I expect Harrison to go four.
All right, here's how I look at it. Caleb Williams won. That's a lock. I'm 99% sure Jaden Daniels is going to go number two to Washington. Do you feel that way?
I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. Why do you feel that way?
I think there's a little bit of misgivings on May relative to making reads when he's under pressure. Like, that's, if you're in Camp McCarthy over May right now, it's because McCarthy's numbers under pressure, And granted, he probably wasn't under pressure nearly as much as Drake May was. But his numbers and his ability to process information look like they're so much better than May's, even though May has a superior physical talent. I wonder, this is a me thing. I could be reading too much into this. I wonder if drafting May, who was the quarterback that followed Sam Howell at North Carolina, I wonder if there's a bit of an appearance issue there. And I think Daniels was just, like, as far as a college quarterback, he was the best on the field this year in college football. So I think you add all that together, it's tough to turn down Daniels.
It just feels like, I know this is John Torres' answer, that's his team, where it's like, okay, they're still not over RG3. They still want that. They want the home run guy that's going to put butt in the seats. They need something kind of sexy, and I think that's the Heisman Trophy winner. I don't think that's May with North Carolina, and I think they need that.
Yeah, go on. I even heard a little bit of J.J. McCarthy, too. Gosh, it'd be a tough sell. It'd be with the physical gifts that May and Daniels have, it would be a really tough sell to me to take McCarthy over both of them.
All right.
But, yeah, I think when push comes to shove, You're right. You have a new owner, right, that wants to make fans feel good about the direction of the franchise. I think the fan base is going to feel good if they take Daniels. And if they don't,
Yeah.
So I think Daniels is the guy.
They're an irrelevant franchise anyway. They need someone to, like, make them exciting again. I feel bad saying that, but no one even knows what the team name is after a while. We're still saying the old one. Is it the Washington football team? Are they the Commanders? It's confusing.
They may change again.
Yeah, as they should. I liked the football team like it was a soccer team.
I thought they should have stayed with the football team. I agree with that completely. I thought it was a distinguishing thing.
Yeah.
Kind of sounded a little Premier League. I was good with it. I liked it better than Commanders, and I'm not a fan of the uniforms either that they brought out, especially the black ones are no good.
I like,
but yeah, you're right. They need someone to identify with. They had that last with RG3, and they could have it again, perhaps with Daniels.
I like the narrative where it's like, well, you know, Caleb Williams, he's from the D.C. area. That'd be a great story. I don't care. They don't have the first pick. And I also, this is where I get kind of angry, and I want your take, Chris Bonanno, with the Hometown News. It's like, well, Minnesota's got multiple picks, so they need a QB. Well, that's too bad. They're not drafted in the top 10. These teams, unless you give them a king's ransom, I don't think they're going to move out of the top 5 to help out Minnesota. How about you?
So I don't think – the trick is with Minnesota, and I'll use this as a comparison to, like, say, my team, right?
Yeah.
The Giants are at 6. If you trade down with the Giants, there's 3 amazing wide receivers. Like, it's that – the comparison is that class where they had Jamar Chase and Jalen Waddle, like really, really good class. So you can still get that guy if you're Arizona. If you trade down to 11, you're not getting anybody like that. Then you're getting into like the 7 different offensive linemen who are fine, but it's, you know, not necessarily what you need in Arizona. You look at their receiving core right now, they are bereft of anything resembling a number one wide receiver. That fits a perfect fit in terms of talent and need. If they drafted Marvin Harrison, they'd get an A-plus from everybody on their mock drafts. They would. So why overcomplicate it? So I would stay there. I understand the Patriot thought process of wanting to trade down, but guys, you need a quarterback. You got Bailey Zappi. Like, no. Like, if you don't draft a quarterback, who is going to play quarterback for you this year? Like, I don't understand it.
This is the most cliche thing I will say to everyone, including you. You need to get draft capital, but then you have to actually draft people after a while, right? Like, you got to pull the trigger.
You do. And perhaps, you know, to your team, perhaps that's why one of the reasons why the Bears ultimately, instead of trading back and keeping Fields, at some point, you got to use that pick, right? And so that's what obviously they're deciding to go with Caleb Williams. And I'm really interested to see what they do at 9, too. But, you know, it's a great example of, you know, at some point you have to, it's like when the Boston Celtics had like 8 million first round picks. And it really didn't amount to anything beyond what they had. So you're absolutely right.
All right. Let's say Minnesota calls you up. McCarthy's still on the board at 6. It's your pick. They go, all right, we'll give you our first 2 first-round picks, and we'll give you maybe a 3rd-round pick. Would you do it?
It's tough because, like I said, you're getting out of that range. There's a big drop off, not big, because there are other first round wide receivers.
You want,
but there
it.
Isn't that like franchise type of wide receiver there. So I may have a little bit of, and by the way, this is a fun trade to revisit since we're both obviously fans of the team. I'm a Giants fan, you're a Bears fan.
What?
I have a little bit of trauma from the trade back where they gave up Micah Parsons to trade back and they took Kadarius Toney. Like, you know, you gave up that, and you know, you got Justin Fields, and we got your pick next year, and it ended up being Evan Neal. That didn't really work out. Now, part of that is, you know, you just drafted the wrong guy. But there is something to be said for you only have so many opportunities to draft blue-chip guys like this. And we talked about, you know, Arizona having a need for a wide receiver. The Giants have that same need, too. Like I said, Darius Slayton's their number one right now. So it would be, if you want to give Daniel Jones a chance to succeed, hey, Daniel Jones has never had a top-flight receiver. Why not give him one?
I agree. All right, if Doc Brown shows up with the DeLorean from Back to the Future and he's like, we can go anywhere you want, would you go into the DeLorean and go back to former drafts and fix your team's mistakes? Because that's what I would do.
That I would fix so much sporting-wise. Oh, my gosh, that would be amazing. I wish we could do that.
You're not.
And while we're there, we'll – yeah, I mean, that would – I mean, we'd go back and do, like, Knicks trades and everything like that. Like, it would just be so, so much fun. But yes, I would, because, you know, to go back, gosh, the jury's still a little bit out, but it's pretty close to rendering its verdict on Evan Neal. Like, yeah, that's a tough one at pick seven. He may be a guard. He may be a good guard, but he doesn't look right now like he's a tackle, because he's part of the reason why, you know, he didn't play very much last year. But part of the reason why the Giants offensive line is still just so problematic.
Okay. The first one I'm going to is this, the easy one. 2017, I'm saving my team by drafting Patrick Mahomes. That's the first one. I always remember being in high school where we had the fifth pick in 98, and I wanted Randy Moss, okay? And the Bears are like, no.
You got Kay McNown, right?
No. Okay, wait, we'll make sure I do this right here. Okay.
Okay.
98, we took Curtis Enos from Penn State, the running back.
Oh, and, that's right,
and,
yeah.
And what's his name? You know, the coach of Penn State, you know what it is. Again, I feel
Joe Paterno.
Joe Paterno, he told the Bears, don't draft this guy. He's a knucklehead. And they did it anyway. And they could have taken Randy Moss. Oh, I can play this game. 99, they trade and then take Cade McNown. That's the other one. I can just go. We can keep going if you want, over and over again.
And it's also, it shows how much the league has evolved as well, where you talk about, by the way, there was those two Penn State running backs, right? Kajana Carter and Curtis Enos.
Oh, yeah.
They were taken up top. It's going to take, you know, you look at Bijan Robinson, who is like this just amazing running back prospect. Mm-hmm. He went eighth last year. Like, I'm not sure when the next time, like even Saquon Barkley is a very good running back.
Penn State.
I think most people would say the Giants made a mistake taking him at two.
I agree. I it's too high. In hindsight, would you have drafted him again?
No.
Not the second.
You got, I mean, well, think about it. You got 5 years. You got two healthy years. Okay. 1 year they made the playoffs, and then, but you couldn't. You can't invest when you're not a good team. You cannot invest money in a running back. There's no point, because by the time you get good, that running back's going to be off the table. That's what the Giants are thinking. We're not going to be good this year. He's 28. Time to let him go.
Okay, wait. I'm looking it up.
Unfortunately for us.
Wait, I'm looking up. What was the 2018 draft? Is that right? Let's go to that. Are you ready for this, Chris?
Yeah, there were a lot of quarterbacks in that draft that didn't pan out. But
okay,
I know I wanted Sam Darnold,
and that wouldn't have worked either. Okay, here's what it is. So you have Baker Mayfield, Saquon Barkley, Sam Darnold, Denzel Ward, Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, Josh Allen to the Bills, Roquan Smith 8 to the Bears. Whew. You could have taken Vita Vea, Mika Fitzpatrick, Tremaine Edmonds. I'm just trying to think if there's any.
If you want those guys, you trade down too. I mean, you know, it's just they were caught up. You had an old school general manager who was caught up in sentiment, who wanted to give Eli Manning in his late 30s the best chance to win. And Eli was pretty close to the end by then. And so that's where you get what you get. And they didn't want to upset the apple cart by drafting a quarterback, and then they ended up doing it next year when they reached for Daniel Jones.
So you could have Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson as the heir apparent.
The thing with the Giants fans is instead of Saquon and Daniel Jones, you could have had both Josh Allens. You could have had the Josh Allen in that draft, and you could have had the Josh Allen, the pass rusher from the Jaguars, the next draft, who went the pick after Daniel Jones did. And the Giants had three first-rounders because that was the Odell Beckham trade draft. They took Dexter Lawrence with the pick that they traded with, but there was just an old-school mentality in that draft, and it was that's a draft that's still hotly debated amongst Giants fans.
Wow, I love I'm bringing up all this like horrible pain for you. I'm sorry, man. I apologize.
Well, you can see why the team doesn't win, right? The team doesn't win because it doesn't really make great drafting decisions. Like the Dexter Lawrence pick in the middle of the first round, excellent. He's one of the best defensive tackles in the league. But a lot of these picks ain't that good.
No, they're not. All right, that is the NFL draft. He's given his official statement. We're here with Chris Spinano with Hometown News. Let's go to your Yankees. They're actually good. How are they good to start the season?
They're hitting. Juan Soto is as advertised and then some. You know, the interesting thing is Aaron Judge really hadn't done very well at all. He had the game-winning double yesterday came up. They made a comeback late against Toronto. They were down two runs going in the last inning, and they rallied. Judge hit a two-run double to win it. But it's interesting because the starting pitching ain't great, but it's just kind of been okay, mostly. You've had a couple of good starts, but mostly okay. The bullpen is depleted with injuries, but they are hitting. And that is a marked turnaround from last year when this team could not hit whatsoever. And so it's pretty nice to have that. It's, having a top of the lineup with Volpe's hitting. Volpe's been fantastic so far. You're talking about a guy who hits just over 200, hitting in the high 300s this year, so far this year. Obviously, that's a long way to go, but that's a big, big thing. There's a better vibe around the team. They've already played a lot of hard series too, on the road. Most 4 out of 6 have been road series, so you feel pretty good about what's going on. Other than again, the pitching is going to be a thing. We'll see what we get from Garrett Cole. Rehabbing elbow injuries, I get kind of on. So we'll see. But if they get, Garrett Cole back, they're going to be formidable.
Do you give Juan Soto a big contract?
You there?
Yeah. Hey, did I lose you? You there?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
Okay.
I lost you for a second.
No worries. We're with Chris Spinano with Hometown News. It's live radio. It happens. Do you give Juan Soto a big contract?
You have to, right? If you don't, you know who is? The New York Mets. And you will never live that down if you're Hal Steinbrenner. So you got to do it. You also spent a lot, relatively speaking, to get this guy. So you gave up Michael King, who threw 6 2/3 no-hit ball yesterday. Mm. You gave up other pitching depth. Johnny Brito and Randy Vasquez, and you have Kyle Higashioka, who's a pretty solid catcher. And if you lose Juan Soto over money to a team in your city, the Yankees should never lose anybody to money. But if you lose Juan Soto, now it's going to be quite a price tag, but he has really transformed their lineup. It's not just him, but he is the biggest reason why they're off to the success that they're at.
When he was on Washington, what was the contract he turned down? Was it $300 million? What happened?
Sounds either $300 or $400 million. I don't know if he turned down a contract with the Padres or not, but I think the Padres do great in that they consistently spend above really what they should. But even for them, that was a little too much. They obviously made the trade. And here we are. But, yeah, I mean, he bet on himself. Imagine turning down $300 million. And it may have been more than that.
Yeah.
But could you imagine, and being right, imagine turning down $300 million and making the right move. I mean, knock on wood, he doesn't get hurt this year. But if he doesn't, you could maybe tack on another $200 million to that.
Oh. Where's Stanton? Does he still play? What is his deal?
Yeah. he hit a home run last night in the ninth inning, or kind of last night anyway, 5-6 o'clock, to start the rally. He's got 5 home runs early on this year. Struggled pretty mightily to start off, but you know he's you know 5 home runs. Are you going to get a 60 home run season from anymore from Stanton? Probably not.
No.
Could you get a scenario where you get, you know, 270 with a 30-35 home run season? I think that's still possible. The only trick is now with Soto when he's not playing the field, so you're paying a lot to a DH. But you know, if they could turn back time, they would not have signed that contract. But they have, and he can still be a productive member of what they do. He's hitting fourth, fifth, and when he gets a hold of it, he still crushes it.
Well, starting with this here with Chris Bonanno, I've been waiting to ask this question. It was kind of shocking early this week where longtime radio voice John Sterling announced his retirement, effective immediately. What was your thoughts?
I'm sad because effective immediately in the middle of the season makes you think something's going on health-wise. And I don't know what's going on health-wise. He's 85. He wasn't doing the road games anymore, but was still doing the home games. And obviously something happened, to where he just either didn't feel he could do the job anymore or, you know, I don't know. He's going to be honored at the stadium on Saturday. So perhaps more details will be revealed there, but either way, he's fantastic. And I know, you know, he's obviously a big Yankee homer, but that's kind of, you know, that's the thing. It's hard to think of the Yankees on radio without him, kind of like it was hard to think of a Yankee PA announcer that wasn't Bob Shepard when he stepped down. So, you know, he did it till, gosh, late in his 90s, I think, Bob Shepard did. So, you know, it's one of those things where, that Yankee, you know, they have such tradition. And they stayed with them for so long. I hope all is well with his health and that he can enjoy his time away from the microphone. And I hope that he enjoys a very nice reception on Saturday.
Okay, I'm not a Yankees fan, you know this, but I think the most famous radio call is when, try not to laugh when I say this, Roger Clemens was in the owner's box and Susie and him are going...
Yes.
Him and Susie are going, he's in the, because the way she yells it, and she's great, by the way, he's in the owner's box. It's one of my favorite calls. You know what I'm talking about.
At the time, he was out for midseason, and he was going to come back, but they didn't know which team he was going to come back with. This is after he left the Yankees. He played in Houston.
Yeah.
So he was debating between, like, the Yankees, the Astros, and maybe even the Red Sox. I don't know. But he chose the Yankees, and that was sort of a shocking turn of events there, as it were.
I think
that was exciting.
I think of with Derek Jeter, El Capitan. I think about that, and it's like you know them all. Just some of his famous calls. They're so look. I know you got Michael Kay on the TV call, but I'm sorry,
Burn Baby Burn. Yeah,
yeah, he's not the voice of the Yankees, and it brings up a bigger point. All these guys have now retired. All the super famous people who'd call baseball games.
Vin Scully.
Yeah. Harry Carey died a long time ago in the late 90s. But, like, I mean,
sure.
Bob Uecker is still there with Milwaukee, I believe. I think he's still doing the games.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, I think he's close to 90, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe he's the last one. I feel bad because we're the next generation. I don't think these guys are as famous now. We're calling baseball games. I don't.
Michael Kay is trying to be. I mean, he's got an ESPN show, and what they would do, when the Yankees would have like Old Timers Day or what have you, they would like alternate between Kay and Shepard introducing each player. So I don't know if it was an ego thing who knows, but maybe they just want to be nice with each other. But I think when it, you know, if and when Michael Kay goes and he said some things I don't agree with on his radio show and what have you. But I think if he stays there another, you know, 15, 20 years, who knows? Who knows? He could retire tomorrow for all I know. He'll get a very nice reception from the Yankee fans as well.
There was a call, I think, when you had Curtis Granderson on the team. John Sterling, what would he say for the Grandy Man? What was it?
The Grandy Man, yeah.
See, I know these calls. They're so great. See, my guy, My guy was always Ken the Hawk Harrelson for TV. That was
my guy.
Look, I know. Put it on the board. You know, he gone. He, you know, picked a click. He had all those things. All of them.
Because you're at the time, like towards the end, like they were still on WGN, right? So like you'd be able to hear like when the other team scored, it'd be like there was like you know, oh my gosh, it's like the worst. It's like a funeral. But he got so excited for his team. That was admirable.
See, this is my thing. I have no problem if you're a homer on the home call. I don't care anymore. You're here to entertain.
It does bother on TV. Okay, it bothers me on TV from a league pass perspective, right? Or you know, the package or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, if I'm watching it here in Florida and my only option is to watch Yankees White Sox on the White Sox announcing and they do a cartwheel every time the White Sox score, that bugs me a little bit. Or if I'm in Chicago and I'm a Yankees fan, I would like to see more objectivity, but that's just me.
I like you use cartwheel. I love that the adjective.
Yeah, I don't know where I came up with that.
I love it.
They're excited.
I love it. It's so good. Dude, these stupid idiots doing cartwheels every time they score.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Chris Bonanno, my man, thanks for helping. Have a great day.